everyone. This is SearchDataManagement.com News Director Mark Brunelli. And joining me today on the line is Kenny Sargent. Kenny is the technical lead for enterprise data products at Compassion International. And we're going to talk a little bit today about Compassion International's use of data virtualization software. Kenny, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Nice to have you. So first of all, as we get started here, I just wanted to ask you, could you tell me a little bit about Compassion International? Who are you folks and what do you do?
Yes, we are a ministry to children around the world where we provide spiritual and economic and educational and other types of aid through a one-to-one sponsorship model where we match a sponsor to a child and invest in them. So we're a Christian organization that is in 25 plus countries, I can't remember the exact number now, around the world, and our goal is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name.
That's great. So totally non-profit organization helping children around the world, huh?
Yes, and with that said, it's also a $600 to $700 million a year company, so it still has a number of the same dynamics from a data perspective and stuff that a traditional for-profit company would have.
Certainly, so donations come in and you have to manage data associated with that and things like that, right?
Correct.
So tell me, I understand you guys are using data virtualization tools from Composite right now, but I want you to take me to a time before you started using data virtualization tools. What was the situation like at your organization that sort of led you to start thinking about this? What problems were you trying to solve?
We were trying to do enterprise information management, and basically we're trying to treat information as an asset. And that was through traditional means of what you might have as a traditional data warehouse and traditional ETL and some of those things. And we found that to be a very difficult way to do enterprise information management, which the overall goal of that would be, or let's try to get a single agreed upon way in the enterprise of saying and meaning the same thing. And based on that, we were finding that to be very difficult in traditional ways. And so we started to explore, and literally it was an answer to prayer in October of 2010 when we were like, I was personally in the trough of disillusionment, not thinking this could even be done. And then some answers began to come where it was like, well, there's new ways to put things together that you might not have considered, and so I'm very thankful for that.
And by putting things together, you mean new approaches to data integration, like data virtualization?
I do. That data virtualization was one of the pieces of that answer. And so, yes, absolutely. You're thinking just right on that, Mark.
Gotcha. So could I ask you, could you just throw out there, what are some of the other pieces of that solution besides data virtualization?
Well, we have a data virtualization, like you said. We use Composite software for that. We have data movement technologies such as InfoSphere replication and SQL Server replication. And we have SQL Server and Netezza and various source systems. So we have an analytic appliance. But we're putting them together in different ways than might traditionally be done. We use an architectural set of guidelines called ELVT, which is Extract, Load, Virtually Transform. And it has three main principles to it. Principle number one is we want dial tone loads. And so using data virtualization, we either leave the data where it is or we move it with minimal to no transformation, so that we can use the technologies that are best at what they do and get data from A to B reliably, and then we don't want any business logic in that layer at all. So number one is dial tone loads, either leave it where it is or extract and load it with no transformation in between, i.e. we're trying to remove ETL as much as we can. Number two is we're trying to minimize performance tuning, and we do that by some of the newer hardware such as Netezza, and we do that by, you know, just the way that this is architected, particularly throwing hardware at the problem really is what we're trying to do.
I see, yeah.
And then number three, which is arguably the most important, but they all go together, is we're trying to provide view-based business agreement so that there's agility in the agreement, and yet at the same time we want to provide real agreement. So views are easier to change and debug and all that stuff than ETL routines, and so we want transformation to be handled at a view layer late in the process, as late as is reasonable in the process. And then we use things like caching and stuff like that to speed up performance when necessary, but it's still, we're trying to cache a view rather than put steps in an ETL chain, if that makes sense, Mark.
I see. Sure it does. And let me ask you this. So that was in 2010 when you sort of started with all this. Where are you now? Are you completed? Are you up and running? Is it a continual process?
We certainly, I mean, it's absolutely a continual process, right?
Yep.
As long as the business is functioning,
it's
a continual process. As long as people want things, yes. So it is an ongoing process, absolutely. We are very much up and running. It has, you know, and again, I'm just thankful to God for the help on this, but we've had some real successes. We've had some very good agreement that's been facilitated on that. Another piece to mention on this that is very significant is our leadership had the foresight to put in place a bona fide enterprise information management group that has executive authority vested in them. So that's been really good. And not only has that group been good, but the individuals on that group were particularly suited to what they did. And the reason that's significant, Mark, is they've been able to, because of the way they approach it with a humble demeanor and very much a collaborative process, they're able to facilitate some real agreement, mm-hmm. because they're saying, hey, let's just help everybody to agree. They're not trying to push it too hard or anything, but they're also not afraid to lead when necessary. So an executive-backed EIM group has been a real blessing on that as well. So if you put that together with the technology set, of which data virtualization really is it's the piece that really provides the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Then yes, we definitely on the journey are very much, on the journey and happy with where we are and feeling like we've got a strategy to go forward with too.
Sounds like there's some good advice there. That almost sounds like you have a data management competency center installed. Have you ever heard of a BI competency center? You hear about these a lot. Is that something along those lines?
It's actually that, it kind of, we've actually been a bit lacking in that area. It's been more from the enterprise information management side of things, the governance side of things and stuff, where we really actually need more in the space you're talking about.
Right.
And it's very much on some people's radar.
Right, but I just mean this idea of competency center.
Yep, definitely have the idea, but in the BI space we need more. The customer collaborative piece we need more, yeah.
Sure. But also this idea of just having the executive buy-in from the top down and giving them authority is something I think a lot of organizations struggle with.
Yes, and we have found that's true, but the executives don't necessarily remember that they did that or what exactly they were signing up for. So it still ends up being something that has to be worked out.
Where they
have to say stuff like, let me help you do this and remind people that they have that position, because not everybody widely knows it. Just because it's been put in place doesn't mean it's been disseminated, that kind of thing.
Certainly. Okay, let me ask you this. So what has changed at Compassion now that DVD software is up and running? I mean, what are some of the benefits that you guys have experienced?
There have been a number of benefits. We've been able to really cut down the development cycle. And the way to think of it it depends on the level of rigor necessary. At the enterprise level, you're trying to agree on major definitional terms for the organization. So that's gone from months to weeks, or even days in some cases, depending on that. Whereas at the team level or something, sometimes that'll go from days to hours. So we've definitely cut down the development cycle. It allows for a rapid prototyping methodology, the way we do it, Mark, is we call it, is this what you want? That's our process.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you want? And basically the gist of it is get data in front of them as quickly as possible, real data in their real context. And so data virtualization definitely allows for that rapid prototyping methodology. And then when they're staring at their own data in its context, they can really tell whether it's correct or not. So turnaround time has been a big benefit. Agility and change has been a big benefit. Again, like I mentioned before, the ELVT, the virtual transformation part of it allows for us to change those business rules much more quickly because they're based on views. But another benefit that's kind of sometimes hidden on that is the fact that we have our data model is literally a query structure rather than just a separate data model. And what that means is it has to be queried through. In other words, if you're going to get data about a constituent or something like that, you go through this particular query structure, and it, therefore it has a self-policing aspect where if it's not correct, we have to fix it, as opposed to a data model that kind of sits off to the side and becomes irrelevant. So those are some examples to where we've really seen some benefit.
Definitely. Maybe along those lines or something similar, what advice do you have for other organizations that are considering a new data virtualization project? Anything that you could tell them to help them ensure success?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch behind that, in that it really depends on the use case, of course.
Sure.
But data virtualization provides, not in and of itself, but combined with other tools, it provides some very useful ways of meeting a lot of different use cases. So one example would be you can start small and get some real good wins that way. You can plan for a larger architecture. You can augment a data warehouse as sort of a typical data virtualization use case that's very effective. And so, in terms of giving counsel to others on that, I think there's some just a lot of benefit in different arenas, particularly in being able to get stuff out more rapidly. Every company's got that need, right? So I think there's just a lot of different ways to do it, and wherever people are on the spectrum, they can still get some wins.
Great. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Great. And for everybody else out there, for more information on data virtualization software, go to searchdatamanagement.com. This is Mark Brunelli, and we'll talk to you next time.